What would you say is the most serious crime being committed in our country? If you think of all the crimes being committed here, those related to drugs and drug sales, we think of the murders, we think of the rape, we think of all the crimes of violence, the assault, all the homicides. What would you say is the most terrible crime of America today? I'd like to suggest that the crime of abortion, even though it's legalized, is the most terrible thing that's occurring in this country today. And I was just amazed by some of the statistics that have come out recently. You know, we hear of these things in general, but then it strikes you with fresh force when you realize the magnitude of it. In 1980, for example, in the United States, there were 1,553,890 abortions. Over 1.5 million abortions in 1980 in the United States. The abortion rate per pregnancy, per 1,000 pregnancies, was 300. In other words, a third of the pregnancies were aborted. Tragic, isn't it? And which area do you suppose is the area that leads in abortions in the percentage? And it's Washington, D.C. It's the capital of our country. Here there were 611 abortion for every 1,000 pregnancies. Over 1/2 of the pregnancies were aborted in the capital of our country, the United States. Colorado doesn't do very well either. In Colorado, there were 23,140 abortions in 1980. And the rate of abortions per 1,000 pregnancies 309, a little over the national average. Tragic figure, isn't it? Wyoming really does fairly well. They had 96 abortions to every 1,000 pregnancies. And Kansas does better than some areas. These are neighboring states to Colorado. They had 256, so they're a little better off than Colorado, but not much to boast about. The county in which I live, Weld County, here in Colorado, reported for 1982 that there were 577 abortions. Those deaths outnumbered all other combined deaths in Weld County. Deaths from old age and accident and all the rest. And there were 643 live births. Tremendous number of abortions. Amazing when you think about it. And isn't it amazing that your daughter may have, your minor daughter may have to get permission to have her ears pierced. But she can get an abortion without you even knowing about it. So it's a very terrible situation in the country in which we live. I think back to the Vietnam War. And all of the indignation there was over the loss of our men in that war. And I believe the total casualties, and I forget the exact figures, but were some over 50,000 for the war. But there was tremendous indignation and a public outcry. University campuses were having marches and rallies and all the rest. Special speakers coming in. I can remember seeing people, students lying down in the street and blocking it, blocking traffic, and the police coming and having to haul them off and book them for obstructing traffic. All of this because during those many years of war in Vietnam, we lost some over 50,000 men. But there's no outcry over 1.5 million deaths in 1 year by the American public as a whole. as I say, it's the most serious crime being committed today in the United States. Now, the people who are being pinned against, who are having this crime committed against them, can raise no outcry. They are the most helpless, the most defenseless. And yet it's precisely these who God is concerned for. And I want to read some verses in James chapter 2. And in the book of James chapter 2, and starting with verse 8, he says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law of transgressors. For whoever will keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you've become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God says here that he hates partiality. And he's speaking here against any favoritism, any lack of justice, any lack of fairness. This is what he's speaking about as James is writing to these Christians. And he says, listen, if you may keep all of the laws of God, but you break one, you're a transgressor, you're a lawbreaker. Now, we sometimes go to jail and work with those who are in jail, waiting trial. And you don't have to break every law in the book of your city or state to be thrown in jail. You only have to break one. You don't have to break all the traffic laws. You can just be driving under the influence. And if you're pulled over and you fail to pass the test, you can be put in jail. The point he's making here is each law is important. And that those who are the least privileged, the least advantaged to show any favoritism, to take advantage of them, is a sin. Now, if you think of the whole matter here of abortion, Scripture says, thou shalt not murder. This is repeated, of course, in Exodus 20 in the giving of the Ten Commandments. And it's repeated over and over again through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Murder. Taking human life. And this is a sin of great magnitude. Now, why? We take other lives, don't we? Most people, at least, have no compunction about eating a good beef roast. You enjoy it. You don't sit and weep as you think of the cow that died, the steer that was slaughtered, in order for you to have that meat to eat. But why is it, then, we say that human life has such value? Well, the reason it has such value is that dear man was created in the image of God. And man has tremendous value, made in the image of God, not just like other life. Are we made to kill animal life in order to support our life? Human societies as a whole recognize that human life is different and has great, great value. And what gives us that value is that we were made in the image of God. We are different from the rest of animal life. Man has an intellectual capability. Man has a sense of conscience. Man distinguishes right and wrong. Man has the ability to appreciate the beautiful and to, above all, to worship God and to know God. So he's unique. And as such, his life has great value. And God says all human life has value. God doesn't say, now just the healthy and the strong and the affluent these are the ones that have value to me. Constantly, through the whole of Scripture, the Bible emphasizes all life has value. And those that are the most downtrodden, and those that are the weakest, are the ones that God says, listen, society should protect. They too have value. And no one is to be despised. And this is why he says at the end of James 1, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And he says, listen, real faith will show itself in taking a concern and showing a concern for those who are disadvantaged, for the widows, for those without a wage earner, for the orphan, those without a father or mother, to take a concern for these, to show concern for these who are in difficult circumstances, but have great value because they too carry the image of God. This is what God insists upon. Now, to take human life in any form is wrong. And it's an amazing thing that here it is wrong. The course will say it is wrong for you, for example, to take an adult life. In fact, there's a case in court now of a man who shot his father, killed his father, because his father was in a condition where he could never recover. His brain waves, I guess, had ceased. He was just a vegetable. He had heart attacks. I forget all the details. But they said, there's no hope at all. And the son came in and said, I want to put him out of his misery. He said, I love him too much to see him just lie there. And shot him. Now, did the courts applaud that? Not at all. He's in jail now. And he's waiting trial for murder. And we protect the life here of this man who medical science says can never recover. He's lived his life. He's had sickness and so forth. Now he's waiting to die. We take murder if you take his life. But on the other hand, here is a life that is just on the threshold and that is just beginning to enter into the whole experience of human life. It's at the other end of the road. And we say it's perfectly legal to snuff that life out, to take that life and just crush it, destroy it. This is legal. But God says, listen, all life is of value to me. And God says, I'm the one who gives life, and I'm the one who has the right to take life. And so we would insist that here the value, the importance of the human, even though it's a babe, even though we have just an unborn child, we say this has great, great value. And as Christians, we take a stand for the dignity and value of human life. Now, if you had an abortion, let me say there's forgiveness. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses from all sin. Turn to Christ, and you can know the forgiveness of God. But oh, listen, as believers, as Christians, you need to stand against this terrible sin.